being the church that Christ has intended for us to be. 1 John chapter number 4, and we'll begin in verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. I'll give you a second to turn there. The book of 1 John really is a book specifically that deals with a few different topics. I've never really preached through 1 John while I've been here, but deals with a few different topics. But one big one that the book of 1 John deals with is the topic of love. While you're turning there, I want to read a passage from John. It's also in your handout. John 13, and then we're going to read 1 John 4. John 13, verse 34 and 35 says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you," Jesus speaking, of course, "that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I believe John is extending that when he writes the passage that we're going to read now. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the perfect atonement is what that word means, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Skip down to verse 16, can we? "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word and on this topic of love. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We are thankful. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can open it. We're thankful that we can study and examine it. And Lord, put our lives and line it up to Scripture here this morning. I pray that you'd help us to examine and to see in our lives, Lord, whether we are illustrating and showing the love that you have shown to us. Lord, strengthen us in these things. And this very simple topic, a topic perhaps no one is surprised about, but certainly a topic that sometimes we need a refresher on. Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine our hearts, to consider what you've done for us, and Lord, how we ought to have that love, one for another and for a world that needs you. Strengthen us, help us to have open hearts to change what needs to be changed. Lord, help each and every one of us through this message to examine ourselves and to see whether we are illustrating that kind of love. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John is a disciple that was always focused on love. Specifically, throughout the Gospel of John, he always refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. John constantly goes and brings up this topic of love. And here in 1 John chapter 4, he's bringing up how love should be a part of every believer and specifically of the church. He gives a lot of different details related to love in this passage that are very, very necessary and very helpful. He starts it off in verse number 7, though, with some reasons why we, as Christians, as children of God, should show love. Let's start in verse number 7. It says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." A few simple reasons why we should show love from this passage. Number one, can I submit to you that we should show love because of the love, the compassion of God. In verse number 7, if you catch the first few words, it's very interesting. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another." As a matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed, but while we were reading through this, how many times the word love shows up. But here in verse number 7, the same idea is repeated in verse number 11. The word actually is kind of like this. Loved ones love one another. That's actually kind of the idea here. Nice and simply, can I explain it this way? We are loved by God, and because of that, we should love each other. We know love, so we should exemplify and show love. Can I tell you, Christian friends, if you're a child of God, if you've received Christ's love, if you've received salvation, then you, of all people, should know how to love someone else. We should exemplify, show, characterize love. Number one, can I submit to you, the reason why we ought love is because of the compassion and love of God. And this idea goes all the way through. Look at verse number 8 if we can. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In verse number 9, it talks about how God's love is manifested or shown. In verse number 11, it says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And really through all these verses, if I were to summarize, we should love, number one, because of the compassion, the love of God. Can I say, friend, if you are not characterized by love in this church, by love one for another, by love for a world that needs Christ, can I tell you, you either don't know the love of Christ, you've never received Him, or you're not living in light of the love of Christ. Number one, reason to love, the compassion of God. Number two, the reason to love, the character of God. Look at verse number 7 again. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is" what? Say it with me. "For love is" what? "Of God." Good. Thank you, three people. I appreciate that. Love is of God. Nice and simply, here's what he's saying. He's saying that we should love one another because it's a character trait of God. Verse number 8 extends upon it, and very familiar phrase, God is love. Now let me just say, love is not God, but God is love. Would you not agree with that? Okay? Now there are people that go and love each other, and that is not God. But God certainly is characterized by love. Everything that God does is loving. You say, well, preacher, I mean, sending people to hell, is that loving? Well, God sent the forgiveness, the sacrifice, His Son, as we'll look at in a second, to forgive from that. God is a loving God. That's who He is. That's His character. So can I say, friends, if we are Christians, little Christ, if we are His followers, then shouldn't we love too? If the character of God is love, then it ought be that we as a church, as individuals, should love as well. I was going to preach a different message here, but this past week I went to Walmart. You see some of the trees over here? I planted those. Those are cherry trees. Hopefully they'll grow and look all pretty and everything in the spring and all that stuff. But anyways, I was at Walmart. And I was looking at the trees, and I was looking at them, and I was going to purchase them. They were on clearance at some places, but the Holly Springs Walmart didn't have them on clearance. I'm on strike against Holly Springs Walmart. But no, so I was over there, and I was talking to one of the workers there, and I was, of course, trying to invite him to our church. And so I'm talking to this guy, and he said, "Oh, I don't go to church anymore." So my dad was a pastor, but I don't go to church anymore. And I said, "Really?" I said, "You know, may I ask why you got out of church?" And this guy, I won't say his name, he went and he said, "Well, the reason why I got out of church is because, you know, I just feel like everyone really only cares about themselves." And he said, "Every church I've ever been in, they just cared about themselves. They cared about the money that they had. They cared about, you know, what they could get out of people. They didn't care about me." Can I tell you, friends, that ought never be said about a church. Ought never be said about a church. The compassion of God should cause us, should motivate us to love each other. The character of God should motivate us to love each other. God is love. He showed love to you. You can, and I should, show love to a world that needs it. Number three, I see in this passage, the connection, our connection to God should cause us to love. Look at verse number 7 again. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and catch the next phrase, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, let me just say what he's not saying. He is not saying necessarily that if you show love, then you are a child of God. That's not what he's saying. We obviously know of some people that are not saved, but yet show love. Perhaps they love their spouse. Perhaps they love their family or something like that. The love that's being described here is not a love like a mutual love. The love that's being described here is a sacrificial love, a love that only is illustrated by God. The Bible says it this way in the book of Romans. He says, hey, for a righteous person, some would die. For a good person, some would dare to die. But God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I tell you, friends, that kind of love, the love that gives even to people that hate them, even to people that are opposed to them, even to people that don't care about them, that kind of love only comes from a connection to God. Y'all with me, friends? When you can love someone even when they hurt you, when you can love someone even when they despise you, when they don't care about you, when they treat you as menial or trivial, that's a special kind of love. The connection that we have to God, John says it this way, everyone that loveth, true love, sacrificial love, agape is the Greek word, love, is born of God and knoweth God. Can I tell you, friends, if you are connected to God and God is love, as he said, that love is of God, that if you are connected to God, if you are born of God, catch it, do not miss it, then you should be like God. Specifically in this area of love. If you're his child, then you should show love. And John goes on in this passage, as you'll see as we go through this message, to almost say, if you don't show love, then you should examine whether you're really his child. If my son, who's sick now, by the way, I can't get over it, but can you turn the volume down on my mic a little bit? It seems a little high. My son, who's now sick, he's back home, Josh. If my son was born and didn't look at all like me, I would be concerned. My son had a different skin color, let's say, when he was born, I would be concerned. If he didn't have some kind of characteristic, there would be a concern there. The compassion of God, the character of God, but the connection to God. God is love, so we should be loved. Number four, I see in this passage, the consciousness, our consciousness of God. Verse number 7 says it this way, everyone that loveth is born of God and, what's the next two words? Knoweth God. Verse number 8, he that loveth not, what's the next phrase? Knoweth not God, for God is love. Now this word knows is a very interesting word. I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it here today. When I was growing up, I loved basketball. I stunk at basketball, but I loved basketball. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. I specifically loved watching Michael Jordan. Okay? How many of you old people, like, you remember Michael Jordan? Yeah? I stunk at basketball one time. I was in middle school, and I thought I was Michael Jordan. I finally got a steal. I finally got some minutes in the game. So I drove down. I had my tongue out. I jumped from the three-point line like Mike did, you know, and I went and I kind of went back down about 3 inches later. I loved Michael Jordan. I wanted to be like Michael Jordan. I watched all his stuff. I knew his stats. I knew all those things. Now, let me ask you, did I know Michael Jordan, yes or no? Now, I knew about Michael Jordan, but I didn't know Michael Jordan. Do you understand the difference? In the Greek language, there's two words for know. There's knowing facts, and there's knowing experientially. You with me, folks? The word here is to know experientially. He's saying this. He's not saying, hey, if you don't love, then you really don't know a lot of facts about God. That's not what he's saying. You with me? Now, would that apply? Certainly, it could apply. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying specifically is, if you don't love, then you have never experienced, you have never realized, you have never grasped internally, you're not conscious of God's love for you. Can I tell you, friends, if you have a bitterness, a hurt, something you won't let go, you won't love, you can't love, then you don't know God's love. You haven't experienced it. You haven't grasped it. Yeah, you might know the facts about it. You might understand some stats. You might be able to quote verses even, but if you've never experienced the love of Christ, if you never grasped it, if you're not conscious of it, then you're not going to love. The reason why we ought love, that's what we're talking about. Number one, the compassion of God. God loved us. Number two, the character of God. God is love. Number three, our connection to God. We are born of God. Number four, our consciousness of God. That we know God. And if we love, then we show that we know we've experienced God. Number five, I see in this passage, the confirmation of God. Why should we love? Number five, because of the confirmation. Look at verse number nine. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. That word manifested has the idea of shown, illustrated. It was published abroad. Nice and simply, here's the picture. Hey, you know why you should love? That's what John's saying here. Why should you love, church? Why should Pleasant Plains be a loving church? Number five, because of the confirmation of God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Catch it. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's break it down if we can. Number one, God sacrificially, lovingly gave, first off, his Son. Verse number 9 says, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Can I tell you, friends, we should love, we should illustrate love, we should show love, we should live loving people, number one, because God gave his Son to us. You all with me, folks? There's no greater love in this world than a man laid down his life for his friends, Jesus said. Jesus gave his life for us. He gave his Son. Specifically in this passage, it's referring to God the Father sending his only begotten Son to die for sinners such as us. I have one son. I have three daughters. It's Anna's birthday, but I have one son, okay? Imagine, if you will, I went and I allowed my son to die for your behalf. I sent my son into a potentially dangerous, deadly situation to take your place. That's the love that Christ had for us. He gave his Son. Number two, he gave his salvation. Verse number 9, he sent his only begotten Son into the world, but he didn't just send him into the world. He sent him into the world that we might live through him. Not only did he give his Son, but number two, he gave his salvation. Nice and simply, friends, we are children of God. We are saved today. We have life today, not physical life, but in eternal, supernatural, never-ending life. We have life today because, in part, God loved us. God loved us. He gave his Son. He gave his salvation. Number three, he gave his sacrifice. Verse number 10 has a $5 word here. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You say, that is a big word, preacher. What does that mean? Propitiation is an interesting, very complex word to define, to put into words. The word propitiation is a sacrifice that pays for someone else. That's really what it means. The picture is that Christ loved us so much, specifically God the Father in this passage, loved us so much that he sent his Son not just to this world, not just to give us life, but to give himself as a sacrifice for us. Christ paid the penalty for us. He took our place. He was our substitute. Everything that Jesus did on that old rugged cross, he did because he loved you and I. We all know that, right? So far, I've not said anything that surprises, right? We should love because God loves us, yes? We should love because of the character of God, because God is love. We should love because we are his children. We're born of God. Yes, we should love because we know God and we've experienced him. We should love because God's shown it and God's illustrated it. God's proved it. None of this has surprised us, folks. Y'all with me, folks? None of this is shocked. Yes, y'all with me? Yes? Rally your heads? Good. But here's what John does at this point. John goes and he says, okay, here's all the reasons why you should love. Now let's consider the illustration, the showing, the practice, the revelation of love. Number one, the reason to love. Number two, the revelation of love. The revelation of love. Look at verse number 12, if we can. Actually, let's start in verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, catch it, he's going into the practical, we ought also to love one another. He's saying, hey, here's all the doctrinal stuff I just talked about, but now let's deal with the practical stuff. If God loved us like this, then how should we love? Verse number 12. Number one, love reveals the Father. Verse number 12, here's what it says. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let's explain what this means, okay? Let's use an example here. Okay, can I get a volunteer? Who wants to volunteer? Nobody. Wow, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Matt, come on up. Thanks for pointing, Matt. Thank you. Come on up if he's pointing to someone. And Kevin, you coming up, okay? Father and son, here we go. All right. Kevin, I want you to go into that back room, okay? Okay? Be careful. It's a big mess, okay? All right. All right. Matt here is Kevin's son. Now, Kevin is back there. Can you see Kevin right now, yes or no?
No.
Well, maybe, no. Okay, good. Good. He closed the door. So, no, we cannot see Kevin, yes? Okay, we can't see Kevin right now. He's in the back room, okay? In a real way, though, we can have ideas of the guy Kevin is from Matt, his son. Yes? He can illustrate, he can show. We cannot see Kevin, but we could go and we could talk to Matt, and Matt could tell us a little bit about his dad. So, Matt, this is your chance, brother.
Brownie points right here.
If you remember, he can still hear you. So, okay. So, what's some things you can tell us about your dad?
He's a very good guy, very nice, very kind,
very athletic looking.
Very athletic. He likes his car. He doesn't want it taken away. All right, good. Anything else?
Good family guy.
Good family guy. All right. So that's a summary of Kevin. And probably Matt could explain longer, and especially if Kevin wasn't listening, could probably explain it even worse, okay? The reality, though, is we can't see Kevin, but because we can see Matt, we can know about Kevin. Am I making sense here? Now, what is God saying here? God's saying in this verse, hey, no one's seen God the Father at any time. Have any of us seen God the Father? Yes or no? No, we haven't seen him. None of us have seen God the Father at any time. But if we have love, then we can show God the Father because God is love. Y'all with me, folks? Here's what he's saying. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. When we illustrate love, we're just like Matt that's illustrating his father. When we show love one to another, when we show love to that person that drives us crazy at work, we all have that person, right? Yeah, I have. You know who my person is. Andrew's the only person on staff. No, I'm just kidding. We all have that person. When we show love to that person, what are we doing? We're showing the love that Christ showed to us. When we show love to someone that hates us, despises us, treats us negatively, we are showing, we are illustrating the love that Christ has to us. Am I making sense here? It reveals God to people. Listen, friends, a lot of people will only know about God from how you live, how you act. In our Sunday school class downstairs, we're talking about sharing the gospel. And in that class, Brother Steve actually asked about, you know, sharing the gospel with his family and how sometimes it's kind of hard to bring it up with them and things. Can I tell you, friends? Yes, we can share the gospel, and we should. We should share the good news of Jesus Christ. We should pass out tracts. We should talk to them. We should invite them to church. We should do all those things. But can I say there's something very special about us showing love, showing compassion because it shows who God is. It reveals the Father. Thank you, Matt. You can have a seat. Yeah, we're just going to leave Kevin back there. No, Kevin, come on up. Come on up, brother. It reveals the Father. It reveals the Father. It shows who God is when we show love. No man has seen God at any time. The Bible's very clear about saying here. So it shows who God is. Number two, it shows whose we are, that we belong to God. Verse number 12, it says, God dwells in us. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Can I tell you, friends, number one, why should you show love? Why should you illustrate love? Because a world needs to know God, and sometimes the only way they'll do that is by them seeing God in us. It reveals the Father. Number two, why should we show love as a church, as individuals? We should show love because, number two, it reveals our growth. Verse number 12, it says this, his love is perfected in us. Now, let me be very clear. This word perfected doesn't necessarily mean that we are perfect. The idea has the idea of to perfect. If I'm perfecting something, I'm not making it perfect necessarily. I'm fulfilling it. I'm growing it. I'm making it what it should be, what it's meant to be, what it's supposed to be. In the same way here in this verse, his love is perfected in us. We have the love of God in us, yes? Do we not? If you receive Christ, you have the love of God in you, yes? You with me, folks? You have the love of God in you. But catch it. Sometimes we don't let that love be perfected, grow, be what it's meant to be. Would you not agree with that? Sometimes we don't illustrate the love of God that we have inside. Sometimes we don't show that love. Sometimes we don't live that love out. No, we may have it. We may be children of God. We may be saved. But sometimes we're not showing that love like we should. That's what he's talking about here. His love is perfected in us. He goes back to it. He has a little parenthetical. So let's jump down to verse number 16 if we can. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Again, same idea that he started in verse number 12. Herein, this is how our love is made perfect, grow, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. What's it saying? It's saying nice and simply that our connection to Christ is illustrated, is shown when we love others. Nice and simply, friends, part of what the book of 1 John is saying is it's saying this. He's giving different criteria, different checklists, so to speak, in terms of our walk with God. He's talked about our fellowship. He's talked about how we interact with sin. He's talked about, in this passage, loving each other. And he's saying, in a sense, he's saying, hey, if you really say you're walking with God, if you really say you're his, well, let's check it out. Let's see if that's really the case. Do you love each other? Is there someone in your life that you don't love like you should? Is there someone in your life that you hold animosity, hatred, or maybe not hatred, even just bitterness? Something that you hold against them. Can I tell you, friends, if you don't, then that means that your connection with Christ is not as good as it should be. Dwelleth in God and God in him. I wish I had time to go into all that this means. In Acts chapter 6, or John chapter 16, Jesus says, hey, you're like a vine, and that vine is gone, and it has to be in the root. And if it's not in the root, then that vine will wither and will die. In the same way, you have to dwell in me and I in you, and then you can bear fruit. That's a picture. Can I tell you, friends, if you're not showing love in your life, that's just a sign. That's a sign that you're not connected to Christ like you should be. Because if you're connected to Christ, you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Number one, love. Our connection with Christ, it reveals growth. Number one, our connection with Christ. Number two, our confidence in Christ. Verse number 17 and 18, I'll admit, when I was reading through this, I kind of struggled with these verses. Look at it, verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have, what's the next word? Boldness in the day of what? judgment. Can I just say, friends? I don't know about you, but when judgment day comes, I don't know that John Utley's going to be all that bold. You with me, folks? When everything that I did for Christ or didn't do for Christ is brought up and Christ gives the judgment and the reward for my deeds, I got to say, and I would hope you would probably say, or I would imagine you would probably say the same, you and I probably ain't going to be all that bold. Yeah? Right? How many of you have messed up in some pretty big ways? How many of you mess up regularly in some pretty big ways? How many of you are stupid like me? Okay, good. We mess up, don't we? But here's what John is saying. Hey, if your love really grows, then you can have boldness in the day of judgment. Can you imagine it? You're standing before Almighty God. You're giving an account of your life. God is to open up all the books of everything that you ever accomplished or didn't accomplish in your life. Can you imagine standing in that line waiting for your time to come and you not being afraid? Not being concerned? That's what he's saying. You can have boldness in the day of judgment if you grow in your love. Because we have confidence. We can be sure. We can know. Listen, friends, if we love, then we can have that kind of confidence. Number one, the revelation of love, it reveals the Father. There's people that need to know God. They won't know it unless you show know him, unless you show love. It reveals our growth, our connection, and our confidence. Number three, love reveals liars. Look at verse number 20 if we can. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, what's the next four words? He is a liar. Well, that's encouraging. Here's what it means, I said simply. If you go and you say, hey, I love God, but yet you're holding bitterness, you're holding animosity towards someone, then you are lying about your loving God. He specifically gives a reason, verse number 20. Look at it. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Friend, if you can't love your fellow Christian, then you can't possibly be loving God. That's Bible. That's not John Utley. That's Bible. You with me, friends? You, if you say, I love God, but you don't love each other, then you're lying. Because you really don't love God. Because if you loved God, you would live like God. That's what he's saying. The revelation of love, it reveals the Father. People need to see God in us. It reveals our growth. Is his love being perfected? Is it growing in us? It reveals liars, people that are fake. By the way, can I just take a time out here? There are two different types of liars that I believe he's describing here. Number one, people that lie about their very conversion. By the way, can I just say, friends, no matter whether you're a member here or you're not a member here, there are people, perhaps, even in this place, that are lying about their salvation. They've lied to themselves or they're lying to others. Y'all with me? For a long time, John Utley grew up in church. I've told you before, I grew up on drugs. I was drugged to church. Yeah, it's not as funny now because I've said it so many times. But the reality is, I went and I attended church, and every time the preacher went in the invitation and he said, hey, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? I'd raise my hand and say, yes, I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. And each time, I deep in my heart knew that I was lying. Because I didn't know. There are people that lie to others. There are people that lie to themselves. I've talked to people before, and they received Christ at perhaps an older age, and they said, you know, I convinced myself that I was saved, and I eventually realized that I wasn't. And can I tell you, friends, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins. God knows. Sometimes we don't know. Friend, if you don't know for sure, if you've been lying, listen, today, receive the love of Christ. It reveals liars. It reveals growth. It reveals the Father. Number four, it reveals our obedience. Look at verse number 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Nice and simply, friends, you cannot be right with God if you are not showing and illustrating love. You say, okay, preacher, I get all that. So practically, what do I do? Here's what you do. Number one, you show the love that God showed you. Now, that's easy to say and hard to do. As a matter of fact, if I, stay with me, don't pack up yet, please. Listen, folks, if I venture to guess, I would imagine that probably none of us, or nearly none of us, show the love that God has shown to us to others. Would you not agree with that? Because frankly, folks, God loved us a whole lot while we were pretty awful. Yes? And if someone says something wrong, I've been in ministry long enough. Someone says something a little bit, you know, oh, this person made fun of the dress I wore, so I hate them. You with me, friends? That is not the love that God had toward us. Because we sinned against him constantly over and over and over and over and over again, yet he still showed his love. So number one, what do we do with this? Number one, we examine our hearts. Number two, we show this love, that kind of love, to us as a church, to the world that needs it. We show that kind of love. Let me read the verse again that I read at the very beginning. It's in your handout. Look at it. John 13 and verse number 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. He's saying, by this is how everyone will know that you're my church, that you're my followers, that you're like me, if you have what? Love, one to another. Friends, this topic of love matters. So let's examine our hearts and let's change what needs to be changed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around as Beck makes her way to the piano. A few simple questions for you today. Stay with me, please. First question is this. Do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're on your way to heaven? Let me be clear. Listen, stay with me. I'm not asking if you're a good person. I'm not asking if you're moral. I'm not asking if you attend this church or another. I am asking, do you personally know for sure that you are on your way to heaven? Don't lie to God. You say, preacher, 100%, I know it. I'm sure of it. No questions, no doubts. I know I'm on my way to heaven. No doubt about it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I know it. No question, no doubt. I'm sure. Good, thank you. You can put your hand down. Friend, if you're here and you don't know for sure, can I tell you, friend, that you can know for sure? As a matter of fact, the book of 1 John says that he wrote these things so that you can know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure. And it's not by you. It's not by what you've done or haven't done. It's by Christ. He loved you so much that he did all of it. He paid it all. He did everything. He came to us, like we sang earlier. We didn't go to him. He came to us. So here's the simple question, friend. Do you want to get it settled today? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that. But I do want to catch you. Today's going to be busy. We got other things going on. But nothing, nothing is more important than eternity. Nothing. Nothing. If you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, then it needs to be settled today because you don't know what tomorrow is. You don't know. We gave a prayer request for a lady that laid down one night just perfectly fine, and she's in eternity that morning. Her husband came into the room, and she didn't wake up. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You say, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you about it today. I'd like to get it settled. I got questions. I got doubts. Maybe you know you're not saved. Maybe you just don't know, but you say, either way, Pastor, I want to talk to you about it. With no one looking, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't want anybody to not make a decision because someone else is looking. You say, Pastor, I want to talk to you about it today. If that's you, would you pop your hand up for just a second? I want to talk to you about it. I want to get it settled. Good. Thank you. I see that hand. Catch you afterwards. Get it settled, friend. Don't put it off. Don't wait. For the rest of us, If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, then you should be showing that kind of love. Now, I want you to be honest with God here real quick. How many of you would say, hey, pastor, I don't show that kind of love like I should all the time. Be honest with God. Don't say, oh, yeah, I do. Because frankly, that's probably a lie. You say, I don't show the kind of love that Christ has shown to me like I should and I need to. Say, pastor, would you pray for me that I start showing that kind of love? If that's you, would you raise your hand? I know that it's necessary. I know it's important. I know people need to see that kind of love in this world. I need to show it. Listen, friend, if that's you, then how do you get it? You get it by getting to know Christ. We love him. Why, the Bible says? Because he what? First loved us. Our love for him and our love for others is based on his love for us. You get to know what Christ did for you. You can't but love other people. You get to know what Christ went through for you. You can't but love other folks. Get to know him, grow in that, think about it, meditate on it, chew it over. Get to know what Christ has done for you, and friend, you're going to love others. Let's all stand. Let's go before the Lord, can we? Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands, you know the hearts. Lord, frankly, probably all of us could and should say, hey, we don't love like we should. We don't show that kind of love. The kind of love that illustrates that we are your children all the time. We don't show the kind of love that sacrifices for others. We don't show that kind of love. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be honest with you, help us to get it settled and taken care of once for all, to not delay, to not procrastinate, to not go and say, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. No, it is a big deal. By this shall all men know that we're your disciples if we love one another. Father, help us to show that kind of love. I pray that a revival would even start in our midst, Lord, a rekindling of the fires, the love that perhaps has become dormant. Lord, strengthen us in these things, we pray. Help us to show this love. Work in us as only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as Becky plays, here's what I want us to do. I don't do this all the time, but here's what I want us to do. If we're serious about showing the love of Christ, listen, friends, we will never show the love of Christ in a world if we don't show the love of Christ in this place. I don't do this all the time, but here's what I want us to do. If God dealt with us about something specific, I want us to come forward and I want us to pray here specifically and say, hey, my love for Christ is not what it should be. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. Now I want to pray about it and I want to get something settled. So right now, if your love is not where it should be for Jesus Christ, I want you to pray. I'll be praying up here. Let's just pray and go before the Lord and say, hey, I'm not where I should be, Lord. I'm confessing it. I'm forsaking it. Lord, I want to get back to focusing on you. Right now, would you come? Would you pray? Be honest with God's friends right now. Pour out your heart to the Lord and say, yeah, this is what needs to change. Listen, I asked for a public invitation. I asked for you to be honest with him. If you can sit and say, hey, everything's good between me and Christ. And that's great, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Right now, be honest with him. Say, hey, some things need to change. I don't love like I should. I don't show love like I should. I don't remember and appreciate what Christ has done for me. He's not as precious to me like he should be. I've hurt against someone, perhaps even in this church body. I have animosity towards someone and I hold it against them. Bitterness that's crept up in my life and I won't forgive and I can't forgive. Listen, friends, when you look at Christ, you can't but forgive. Whatever it is in your life, correct it, seek him, and show the love of Christ. That's how this church can and will move forward, and without it, it will not. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love. If you have love. It is not a big thing, it is the big thing. So examine your heart today. Let's sing the chorus of that song that Becky's been playing. Jesus is precious. He's so precious. He's precious to me. Jesus is precious. He is so precious. Jesus is precious to me. And he is my Savior. And he is my Savior. He's Lord. He's Lord and my Master. Jesus is precious to me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we can sing the words of that song, but rarely do we illustrate the words of that song. You're truly precious to us. Lord, I firmly believe that most everybody here has taken the time out of their Sunday, Lord, because in some sense that you are precious to them. But Father, in many ways, that love doesn't leave these doors. In many ways in our lives, often that love is not illustrated to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our family, to our co-workers, to a world that needs it. We might have it in our hearts, but it doesn't show in our lives. And Lord, if love is not manifested, then is it really love? God, correct us, change us, challenge us, we pray. Help us to be stirred up about our love for you. Help us anew and afresh to appreciate what you've done for us. God, challenge us in these things. Help us to show your love throughout this upcoming week. We are thankful for your mercy and grace to us. Dismiss us with your blessing. Be with the things to follow, with the teens and things. But Lord, more than anything, help us to show your love throughout the remainder of this day, this week, and our very lives. And in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Listen, you're dismissed. Please stick around if you can. We're going to do the little auction things in just a little bit.